Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, June 28th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 3, page 36, and top of 37 in More About Alcoholism, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with Thus Started One More Journey. We'll be reading this one paragraph only. It ends on the top of page 37 where it says, If only he mixed it with milk. We'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Athena B. for the 12 steps, Janice P.M. for the 12 traditions, and readers of our text are Don B., Julie E.B., and Janice P.M. Our newcomer greeter today is Ramona A., and Leslie W. will be our announcements coordinator. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, June 27, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,089. That's 13089. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, June 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,091. That's 13091. The OA preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting for our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Athena B. to read our 12 steps of OA. Athena?
Good morning. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Sherry KB, please. Star 1, please.
Thank you for that, Melanie. And thank you, Athena B., for reading the 12 traditions. And now we'll hear from Janice P.M. For the 12 traditions. Athena read the 12 steps. So, Janice P.M., please come on in and read our 12 traditions today of OA.
Will do. Okay. Thank you so much, Sherry B. Sherry KB and everyone that is here. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our good purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are only trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Janice P.M., for reading our 12 traditions today. Thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And so please do not use your mute button on your phone, but please use star 1 to unmute and unmute. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 36, the third paragraph. We're reading in more about alcoholism, and we're going to read that one paragraph only today. And Dawn B., will you please get us started reading? Dawn B., star 1 to unmute, please. Dawn, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning, Dawn B.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Thus started one more journey to the asylum for Jim. Here was the threat of commitment, the loss of family and position, to say nothing of that intense mental and physical suffering which drinking always caused him. He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic. Yet all reasons for not drinking were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea that he could take whiskey if only he mixed it with milk. That's a fantastic paragraph, and I am happy to share on that this morning. I was thinking that I love this paragraph because I always think of the milk involved and thinking how silly that is. You know, why couldn't he see? It's so obvious that whiskey and milk would be a problem. But it's always the mental obsession, the twist of the mind, is easy for people outside of the situation to see and to recognize, but not for the person in the situation. My daughter has mental illness. She has schizoaffective disorder. And when she was going through her psychosis, she would see things and hear things that weren't real, weren't rational. And for me, it was so easy to see. And I would, in the beginning, I would say, Carly, can't you see that, you know, this is not real? And she would say, no, it is real. And I realized that that is the same thing for me with the twist of the mind, that I can't, it says in the big book, we can't distinguish between the true from the false. We can't tell if something is real or not when it's related to our alcoholic foods. We have to rely fully on those in whom the problem has been solved and on our higher power. And we're also taught in the big book that the only help for us is that we would be relieved of that mental obsession, that mental twist, through the power much greater than ourselves. And so we're told in the story that Jim didn't expand his spiritual life. So he wasn't able to have that help. And so he was at the mercy of the mental twist, the mental obsession. So how can we, as Jim's problem was, you know, he didn't expand his spiritual life, how can we expand our spiritual life? And so every day for myself, I need to work on expanding my spiritual life, my conscious contact with God. That's my main job during the day. And so I begin my day, God, please direct my thinking. May it be divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking. So I'm on the lookout for those things. And for me, self-pity is when I'm blaming circumstances or people around me and not taking responsibility for my own behavior, when I'm wallowing in self-pity. And when I'm being dishonest, I look for things that I'm telling myself that simply are not true. Like, I have to wait to be happy until this changes, till the situation changes. I cannot allow myself to be happy. And self-seeking, when I'm trying to play the higher power and force my will. So every day I seek my higher power to expand my spiritual life. And that's the path out to recovery. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I pass.
And thank you, Dawn B., for getting us started. Okay, so we are reading on page 36 and more about alcoholism. We're on the third paragraph, starting with, thus started one more journey. We're reading through that one paragraph only. And who would like to begin to share?
Patty D., Roz G., Julie E.B.,
Rose
Lydia T.
Oh.
I'm sorry, somebody came in right after Julie E.B.
Lydia T.
Oh. Okay, there's a couple of people kind of piling up here. Sorry. Can you try again, please?
Lydia T.
Lydia. Thank you, Lydia.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging in there, Lydia. All right.
Thank you.
And who else can?
Beatrice O.
I heard somebody, I'm sorry,
Lisa
Beatrice,
D.
I heard somebody before you that was after.
Oh, it answer. Was Beatrice O.
Okay. Actually, it was a lady named Rose, I believe, Rose N. And then I'll take you, Beatrice O. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay.
Lisa D.
Okay, Lisa, I'll get you on the second round, okay?
Okay,
I'll
fine.
I'll put you in on the second round. Okay, so I have Patty D., Roz G., Julie E.B., Lydia T., Rose N., and Beatrice O. Patty D., go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you for your service. This is Patty D. in Matthews, North Carolina, compulsive overeater. This paragraph just speaks to me of a conversation I had with my sponsor just last evening, because Jim thought it was okay to just put the whiskey in some milk, and then he was just in this horrible place again. And I suffer from a chronic illness, and yesterday I went grocery shopping and with my list, but I have been suffering from a really bad pain in my chronic illness, and right before I went grocery shopping, I was really emotional about that and questioning, my God, you know, all these years has not healed me of this. And then I just kind of stuffed that and went grocery shopping. And while I was there, I picked up some crackers, gluten-free crackers, and some bread, thinking, you know, when I get really nauseous from these attacks, I really need something, and I don't have anything at home. I don't have any crackers. And I read the label, and they had rice flour in them, and my sponsor and I had discussed that I can't have any flour at all. And this is a new honest abstinence that I'm at after a relapse. And I thought, you know, well, I really need the crackers, you know, and it's just rice flour. It's not, you know, regular flour, and it should be okay. And then I spoke to her about that last night as we were discussing the chapter more about alcoholism. And she said, you know, what happened before you bought them? What was your mental state? What was your emotional state? And we went through that. And then I realized today, you know, I'm returning them to the store. And I realized today in that paragraph, I was just like Jim. It was just a little rice flour. It was just a little whiskey in milk. It should be okay. It's not okay. You know, honesty is honesty. And despite the circumstances of my pain, I still need to not listen to the disease and not listen to the mental twist. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Patty D. Roz G., you're up, followed by Julie E. B. Roz?
Good morning, Sherry K. D. Thank you for your service. Everybody, thank you for your service. I just wanted to talk about my lie to myself, and that was that I always had a salad with everything I ate. As long as I ate a salad, everything else would be okay. And I would put macaroni and cheese, chicken, and salad. That would be my meal. And then I'd go back and get more helping of macaroni and cheese and more after that. And eventually, I ate the whole box and maybe took one or two bites of the salad. And I think that that's crazy, because I just was giving myself a break by saying, well, I'm adding vegetable to my plate, and not having any idea that the ingredients in the macaroni and cheese was just going to overpower any vegetable that I put on my plate. So, you know, I could lie to myself in all kinds of ways. Just this morning, I was just happening to think of this one. And I'm so grateful that this book, you know, presents the truth to me, and that I continue to have deceptive thoughts about food. But I'm grateful that I have, that this is a WE program, and that I can call others, and that I can share my lies to myself with them, and we can laugh about it. I'm not acting on those lies today, but they're there. And they always will be, and I accept that about myself. And I don't have to take action on them today, and I can be gentle with myself as well. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Julie E. B., you're up, followed by Lydia T. Julie? Star 1 to unmute, please. Julie E. B.?
This is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado today. I'm just Oh, that started one more journey to the asylum, the place for craziness. And the sentence right before it, how did this journey start? That didn't seem to bother me, so I tried another. And I know we drilled down hard in this paragraph yesterday, but for me, it might be a food that I say, well, that doesn't really bother me. Or today, living with the food neutral, it might be just an emotion, an irritation. Oh, that didn't seem to bother me. So I tried another, and all of a sudden, the grouch, the brainstorm, which are not for me, they're the dubious luxury of normal men, but for me, it's to eat, and to eat is to die. This is just one more journey. It doesn't matter about the threat. It doesn't matter about the loss or hurt to family or position. It doesn't matter about the intense mental and physical suffering. All that stuff, all that fear, in the moment, does not press into my mind. In fact, thinking about all those things, if I'm thinking about all those things, that fear, all that does is make me want to eat all the more. So I worked these steps, starting with being powerless and the things that were unmanageable. And then I came to, you know, I was willing and began this process of believing something was greater than me, that I couldn't run my own life, that there had to be more to the world than my own thinking and these constant journeys to the asylum. And then I discovered this care, caring higher power, care, provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, maintenance of my condition. If I have care, if I have something that gives me care, then this fear begins to ease. So what I would do in the disease is I would terrorize myself with fear, or I'd be like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Here, as I began to work the steps and then let go of my resentments and my harms and my fears, and as I continue to do that, as I look at my defects of character, all of a sudden it's totally different. It's not because of the knowledge I have about myself. I thought I knew everything. It's because someone cares about me. And I live today as just a growing, unfolding child of the universe, doing the best I can, making mistakes. All the reasons not drinking, all those reasons did is just make me want that ease and comfort all the more. All of that was pushed aside by these simple thoughts that I could just have my relief, my habit of relief of either eating the food or restricting the food.
Fine.
And so I hope you get into these steps today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie B. And Lydia T., you're up, followed by Rose N. Lydia?
Hi, this is Lydia. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Lydia, thank you. Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Okay. This is Lydia T., recovered compulsive overeater in Marquette, Michigan. So glad to be reading in this chapter more about alcoholism. The last few days have been so powerful. And today, you know, just he had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic, yet all reasons for not drinking were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea. And I, you know, the foolish idea, I would get these foolish ideas of, you know, I would do well on, you know, food plan A, B, C, or whatever the flavor of that time was, whatever I had read or whatever book I thought was going to be the answer. And I would do well and I would, you know, lose the weight that I wanted to lose and I would be feeling good. And some foolish idea would come in, you know, into my mind. And I would think, well, yeah, I can do that. My weight is stable. I'm fine. I mean, and then there you go. I would be off to the asylum. And the asylum for me was gaining back all the weight plus more that I had lost. You know, and the intense mental and physical suffering, which that always caused me, and it did. And I didn't see that it was such a I didn't see the cycle. I couldn't even see the cycle. I couldn't even see, you know, what it was doing to me until I finally conceded to my innermost self that I was a compulsive overeater and started working the steps. And I did that through this program and with somebody who the problem had been solved. And she guided me and still guides me. And what the last couple of days I've been feeling is when we read about failing to enlarge the spirit, his spiritual life, and that's what led him back again to to the milk, the whiskey and the milk and the journey to the asylum, the foolish idea. So I've been really exploring how to enlarge my spiritual life. I've been calling different people on the phone and asking them, people that are recovered, how they enlarge their spiritual life, and really, really looking at that and thinking, this is what I need to do, because I don't want to end up back in the asylum and the suffering. And I don't want to be cocky, but yet I don't want to have fear. I want to cease fighting. And the only way that I can see for that happening is to continue to enlarge my spiritual life every single day. I wake up and I need to do it over and over every single day, or I will have those foolish ideas. And sometimes I have them pass in my head, but I know, thank you, I know right now that I don't need to listen to the foolish idea. I can do something different than listen to my foolish ideas. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and thank you for your service. Pass.
Thank you, Lydia T. And Rose N., you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Rose? Star 1 to unmute, please. Rose N.?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Hello? Can you hear me?
Go ahead, please, Rose N.
Great, thank you. Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. This is Roseanne. I'm a compulsive eater in California, and thank you, everyone, for your service and everyone on this line. Much of what I wanted to share has already been said, but I will say that line that he had much knowledge about himself has really been brought home to me as I've been working on my steps, and I realize that my self-knowledge obviously has gotten me into this situation, because my self-knowledge basically comes down to foolish ideas about myself. And one thing that I wanted to say was, somebody pointed out to me that I have a lot of information, but I have no transformation. In other words, this mental obsession of mine, these ideas in my head are swirling around my head, and I have to find a way to move myself from my head into my heart. And as I listen to these meetings and as I make outreach calls to my fellows, there's a subtle shift going on that I can feel, where I am turning away from myself. And someone pointed out on page 572 in the appendix, there's a line, the principle that a man cannot help himself except by helping others, to me really speaks to what this program is and what I hope to be able to turn myself, except that I know that I will not be able to turn myself. I've had real progress by understanding that the meetings and the outreach calls are so important and getting out of my head. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but anyway, that's what I wanted to share, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roseanne. And before we hear from Beatrice O., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 36, the third paragraph. We're going to read that one paragraph only, and it ends on top of page 37. So get ready to chime in and share with us today. Beatrice O., go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O., recovered from the Bay Area, California. So Jim had a lot of knowledge, and he failed to enlarge his spiritual life, but also I believe that he never made a decision. Sometimes when we make a decision, we come up with justification and rationalization why we need to do something, but we never make a decision. And I believe that he really never made a decision. And I believe he never really surrendered. He never really surrendered to his higher power. And spirituality and that contact with God is a daily event, so to speak. I have to set some time aside for my higher power. And Jim never did that. But I believe he never really made a decision to surrender his alcoholism. I believe he was just going through the motions. I just want to share, it's like someone who thinks that they give up sugar, but they can have sugar-free food or sugar-free candy. We believe the own lies that we tell ourselves. So for myself personally, I just want to share an experience. So I send my food to a personal trainer and a sponsor, and I've stopped weighing myself. But she weighs me every week, and I don't know how much I weigh. And there's a part of me that wants to, like, self-sabotage and either drink more water or eat a bigger salad the day before. And my mind says, oh, screw it. I don't really care about the weight because it's about the weight, and then it's not about the weight. And then other times when I was in another food program, I used to drink Smooth Move tea. So when I would wake up in the morning to weigh myself at the end of the month or the first day of the month, I wanted to be sure I was emptied out. And how honest is that? So I just wanted to, you know, confess that and realize that that's deceptive, that's not honest. And we believe these lies. And I think Jim believed the lie that, you know, maybe someday he could have milk with his whiskey, because he never really made a decision to surrender and give it up. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me share. And this program is about honesty. And anyway, I'm not doing those things anymore, thank God. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice, though. And so I'm going to take some more names. Just reminding you, we are on page 36, third paragraph. And who would like to share? I do have Lisa B.
Des M.
Des
Lisa J. R.
Mary
Jordan L.
Okay, hold on. I think I heard, did I hear Lisa J. R.?
Yes.
I heard
Monica
L. I'm sorry?
Stacy B.
Stacy D. Is that D as in David or T as in Tom?
B as in boy.
B as in boy. Okay. And I have room for one more.
Monica
L. Jordan L.
Okay, I heard, Jordan, I got you. somebody with an M?
Hoodie R?
No, I'm sorry, Hoodie. It was somebody else.
Mary B?
Mary B.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Sherry.
Mary had a little lamb. Okay.
Yes. Thank
All
you.
Right. Okay, got you, Mary B. All right, so I have Lisa B, Des M, Lisa J R, Jordan L, Stacy B, and Mary B. All right, Lisa B, please get us started. Star one to unmute, please. Lisa B. Can you hear me, Lisa B? Star one to unmute, please. I can't hear you, Lisa B. Tell you what, I'm going to go on to Des M, and we'll pick you back up. Des M, can you star one to unmute, please?
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you so much for being of service, everyone, Team Friday. I'm really grateful to be able to share on the line today, just be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This is such a good paragraph. I really, like everyone shared, you know, am honing in on the self-knowledge and then what we had read earlier in the week about enlarging our spiritual life. Earlier in the week, when we were reading that, I like to make, after I hear like something that really strikes me or like a prayer that I've written out, I put it on a photo. I like type it out and then save it to the background of my phone because I'm looking at my phone all day. So it's kind of my reminder and my way to just reconnect with my higher power. And so my prayer was, you know, like, God, please show me how to enlarge my spiritual life. And it worked really well, and I just had some really amazing outreach calls, and just super grateful and working with sponsees and just being able to listen, you know, and how the program, how it works for me and what the steps look like working in my life today in 10, 11, and 12 are that this self-knowledge, you know, I'm feeling some big feelings this week, and you know, the thoughts popped in my head. The mental obsession was big for a period in there when some emotions arose. And my self-knowledge, it no longer looks like maybe I can eat this cake and be happy. It's now like, you know, the line in the big book, like, do I want to just go on to the bitter end or do I want to accept spiritual help? And in my head for a minute and, you know, rigorous honesty, like I was, you know, contemplating, well, maybe I'll just go on to the bitter end. And luckily, you know, I did a 10th step, like a couple of them, and just kept doing them. And I don't know if anyone can relate, but, you know, I've been recovered for like 5 months now with entire abstinence. And so I'm like walking this new path with my higher power, and it looks like flexing a new muscle. And when these thoughts pop up, because I have a mental obsession, I have to, you know, work on it every day. Shame also pops up because of the thoughts. So I'm just realizing that, and feelings pop up. And the good news is I'm in the solution today. You guys are all here supporting the solution. I get to work with others, and that's been such just a gift this week of putting the words, just reading the big book with another and being open to hearing and being teachable, and having it just God unfold more what my spiritual life is going to look like, and praying to be open to that. So I'm just really grateful to share on the line. It's been a minute since I've been able to get through. And with that, I pass. Have a beautiful Friday.
And thank you. So let's try to get Lisa B back. Lisa, are you there? Lisa B? Okay. We might end up having one more down there. All right. Des M, thank you. And Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Lisa J.R.?
Thank you very much, Sherry K.B., for your service. I don't know how you get a name out of that cacophony of voices, but thank you so much. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, gratefully recovered. You know, this guy was circling the drain before he ever pulled into that place. You know, he had a head full of knowledge, but it didn't make the 2 foot drop. Old Jim, you know, he knew, and he was armed with the facts about himself and about the solution, but he was having a pity party. Many, many emotions. I mean, Bill doesn't go into it, but it's obvious, you know, the guy owned the business he had to go to work for. He lost through drinking. There must have been a lot of self-pity there, you know, and I realize that when I get restless, irritable, and discontent, you know, I'm a sitting duck for the disease to come in, that mental blank spot. And the funny thing, programs really taught me, and when I'm working with people, I say, you know, if you need any evidence or a metaphor, all you got to do is turn the animal planet on and look at how a predator works. And, you know, our disease works like a predator. It waits for a moment when we are unaware. It waits to pounce, and we're dead before we know it. So we have to be vigilant about staying in the solution. And if it hasn't, you know, if you don't feel like you've had the 2-foot drop, like I waffled around for quite a long time and even visioned for you before I really thoroughly surrendered. But, you know, you've got to work it and you've got to throw that white flag up and admit your lick no matter what. You know, you could be a doctor or lawyer. You know, you could be very well educated. I've known professors that couldn't get this because it didn't make the 2-foot drop. A head full of knowledge doesn't do you any good unless you put it into action practically. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And one more call for Lisa B. Lisa B., star one to unmute. Okay. All right.
Hi,
so,
this is Lisa D. I'm not Lisa B. I'm Lisa D.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Lisa D.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank everybody for their service. And I'm just really grateful to be in a meeting where there's a long-term abstinence. And I'm a recovered night eater and a recovering overeater, compulsive eater. And I totally believe, as everyone has been sharing, that your ideas can be polluted and that your thoughts lie and you have this twist of the mind. And it's easy for people to see from the outside. So we need to rely on others with whom the problem has been solved. And, I mean, I definitely have a very strong relationship with my higher power. But sometimes that doesn't cut it. Because, you know, as I've talked to my husband about, who has his own issues, that addiction is a disease of isolation. And it's very much so for me. Like if I do something and I slip and then I'm not open with my sponsor about it, it just festers. So I truly believe that this addiction is a disease of isolation for me. And so I was very, very grateful that a few weeks back I called in and I got a lot of welcome calls and people loved up on me. And that was awesome. It was just what I needed. So if anybody, you know, wants to call me, I would love to expand my fellowship in this fellowship. A vision for you. And just one example of how the disease can lie to us. Last night I took a strenuous dance class and I came home, and usually it's like I don't eat anything except maybe a Larabar or have some tea or something like that. I've given up sweets, like not sweets, but like sugar almost entirely. Like I was drinking kombucha at night and stuff like that. But now the only like sugar that's in my diet is like if I'm having a salad with cranberries, they put sugar with the cranberries, and they sometimes put sugar in the salad dressings. And, you know, I have to pray for a willing heart, because I'm not sure if I'm willing to give up those yummy salad dressings. But, you know, we'll see, you know, I'll keep praying to be willing for that. I also have health challenges, so I don't have a ton of time. So if you call me like after 8 p.m., I might not be able to pick up. But I really liked what someone said about the disease is like a predator. You know, I had this conversation with my sponsor a few weeks ago about how the disease is so seductive, and it just, you know, it just lures you into being in a place where you don't want to be. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa D. And Jordan L., you're up, followed by Stacy B. Jordan?
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Jordan.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Cool. good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm super grateful to be on the line this morning. and so another journey to the asylum began. I never spent any time in actual asylums, but there's this place in my life that I like to go sometimes, and I refer to it as Crazy Town. And I guess what that looks like, what that looked like when I was in the food was very much, was very relatable to the example of Jim here, right? When I was in the food, it was like finding any sort of loophole or substitute or anything that would get me my fix, you know? and so like that morphed over the years. I came into Overeaters Anonymous when I was 23 years old. That was about 7 years ago, and tried to get abstinent. And actually, I shouldn't even say I tried to get abstinent. I wanted to lose some weight. I was 250-plus pounds, and I needed to lose some weight. and so I came in here, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of willing to do what it is that you want me to do. And I was given some instructions and didn't really follow them, and it didn't work out, right? And I decided that I was going to go out on my own and find a sane, healthy way of eating on my own. But what I didn't know this entire time is that I have a purely physical allergy to certain foods and certain food ingredients. And so I have this warped little mind that's going to lead me back into the food any way it possibly can. And what that looks like at the end of my compulsive overeating, what I hope is the end forevermore, is that I'm sitting there eating things I don't even like, I don't even enjoy the taste of, that contain those ingredients, because I have to get my fix. In coming into a vision for you, getting entirely abstinent, eliminating all those things from the way I eat, no more substitutes, no more loopholes, no more messing around with the food, I start to live with myself. I start to live with the true Jordan, like what Jordan looks like without food. And sadly, sadly, I still like to go to Crazy Town, sometimes these days, but, when I got abstinent, I found a higher power that was going to love me no matter what. Even when I don't treat the people around me the way that higher power would have me treat them. I still get to stay here and practice this with you guys. Thank God. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Renil. Okay, so we have 3 minutes left and two people. If you take a minute and a half each, it can get you both in, Stacy B. and Mary B. So, Stacy, will you take a minute and a half, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Yes, I just want to thank everyone on the line to remind me that I need a conscious contact with God and relationship with my higher power, because I ate something yesterday I probably shouldn't have ate. And I was thinking, well, what led up to this? And sure enough, I was thinking to myself, yeah, that was it. After listening to you this morning, that was the thing that was missing. I wasn't, this week I've been busy in the busy and helping other people and which is great, but there's no time for God. So with that, I just want to thank you so much for keeping me on the straight path with that. And also, I notice when I feel stuck in a situation, if I feel stuck, that's when my body wants to eat on things that I shouldn't be eating. I become like a trapped predator in a cage, and I'm pacing back and forth. I was like, in life, you know, if I feel stuck, that just brings it out. That's my trigger to overeat. So,
hi.
Thank you. And now I'll pass.
Thank you, Stacey B. Mary B., you're up. 1.5 minutes, please.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, thank you, Sherry B. You're so precious. I didn't think you heard my name. God bless you. Yeah, my name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I was going to comment on a sentence in the paragraph, but that's all right. So many wonderful things have been said. I just want to say how much gratitude I have in my heart and here in my eyes for the program of recovery of OA and for that woman who over 2 years ago took me through this book and showed me what this book was really all about, because I wasn't getting it. I had 34 years of chronic relapse in Overeaters Anonymous, 65 years of compulsive overeating, and I live a life today free of the obsession. And I am so grateful. Please continue to do what you guys do. I love you terribly, and I pray for you every single day. Thank you, Sherry KB, for your service and everybody else on the line. Thank you for allowing me to share, and thank you for this wonderful meeting. And with that, I pass.
Mary B., what a lovely way to end this meeting. What a great meeting today, folks. Great meeting. So grateful for this. Let's go ahead and let's see here. So I'm just going to take the time to thank Team Friday for their service. Let's see, we got Athena B. on the 12 Steps, Janice P. M. on the 12 Traditions, Dawn B. was our reader, Julie B. is going to be our page 164 today, and Janice P. M. was double dipping today. She was also our backup. And Leslie M. is our newcomer greeter, and we're going to hear, not Leslie M., Ramona A. is going to be our newcomer greeter, and Leslie W. will be our announcer. So thank you so much, everybody. Big hand for all of us. Let's thank all of us. Great job today. And so now, with our closing, Julie E. B., please read from the Big Book, page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.